We're joined now by Lynn Apkar, Louisiana State University professor, also a WRKF board member, by the way, Mark Bauer, the Capitol Bureau chief, and Peter Kovacs, the editor of The Advocate, who is a Pulitzer Prize winner based on his work with Katrina. And he and staff and Lynn have collaborated on something called SolveTheBudget.org. Lynn, you're smiling. Let's start with you. This concept of having citizens interact, it seems like a good idea, maybe long overdue.
I thought so, and I'm glad you think so, too. And I hope a lot of folks who are listening and following the budget narrative in the legislature will join in. And it only takes a few minutes to sit down and make some decisions about what kind of taxes you want, what kind of spending you'd like to see, what kind of spending cuts you'd like to see. And as you make these choices online, the budget gap widens, narrows until you actually can, quote, balance the budget and solve it. And then you can post it to social media. You can post it to the Advocate social media. And I think we can build a little bit of a groundswell. It's not a scientific poll, but it's a way, it's an indicator to find out where people stand on some of these proposals.
So anybody who wants to can go to solvethebudget.org. And Peter Kovacs, I know you're quite enthused about this. Do you think that this will actually result in some good ideas coming from the people at large?
Well, I think what we hope is that it will result in a more informed public. I find that civic debates have always been ill-informed when it comes to the actual magnitude of the numbers. And so, for example, if someone, if someone was to say, well, you know, the problem with our budget deficit is that we're wasting all this money on film subsidies. Well, we are wasting money on film subsidies, but we're not wasting enough money to close the gap. And this enables you to see how much of the gap you close with the various solutions you choose.
And Mark Ballard, you've been out at the Capitol many years, and it seems that higher ed and health care are always first based on constitutional requirements to get the lumping when budget cuts happen. Could something like this perhaps stimulate some conversation about going in other directions?
Yeah, I would say about half of my conversations in the real world is people saying, having ideas on how they should balance the budget. And to follow up on what Peter was saying is that most of the time they don't understand the complexities that are involved in it. It's much more than just, you know, cutting out movie night for a couple of weeks. It has to deal with if you do this, then what's the impact on that? And I think that this particular online game is what we should call it. It gives people a better idea of how the interplay goes.
877-217-5757 is your number. Jim in Denham Springs. Jim, you're on with Lynn, Peter, and Mark. Hi, Jim.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Fine.
I'm very perplexed by the lack of traction in the legislature regarding the governor's proposal to force corporations to finally start paying their fair share of the tax burden in this state, because the only two possibilities with these corporations is that they, for decades, have been so poorly run that they've not made any profit at all, and I have no idea how they actually remain in business, or they're lying in their tax cheat.
All right. Your response, Mark. Thank you, Jim. The governor says 80% of corporations are paying no taxes.
Well, and I think that's where we're going to be ending up seeing the rhetoric go over the next couple of weeks, is going to be the governor saying that the corporations are not paying their fair share and finding the businesses saying that they're paying way too much. Again, what Solve the Budget does is it shows the complexities of doing that. Everything that you do has a reaction to it.
Yeah. And Peter, I would suspect the Advocate pays a lot of taxes, and that said, some business people believe this was not a good idea, and others say that the tax was low enough that any business could have absorbed it without a great deal of gnashing of teeth.
Well, You know, we do pay a lot of taxes, and something else I would point out is that they, a year ago or whenever, a year and a quarter ago, when they imposed the emergency taxes, they imposed taxes on your newspaper subscription, and it comes in your bill. So they also tax citizens. But you know, the governor's plan was a surprise to legislators. He's already acknowledged that he's already changed it to cut the benefits in terms of tax revenues.
As far as this fiscal cliff that I just mentioned, how severe is it, Mark Ballard, with next year, middle of next year, being when these temporary taxes go away?
The governor's people are suggesting that it's going to be a $1.3 billion cliff when the emergency penny that they added to the sales tax falls off on, I guess, June 30th, 2018. And so what the discussion is about is not so much this year's budget, but what are we going to do to change the structure for next year so that we can fill up that $1.3 billion. One thing that I think that you learn with the Solve the Budget is that everyone says it's a $30 billion budget. Yes, but not really, because we only kick in about $9.5 billion of that $30 billion. The rest are federal monies. And then out of that 9.5 that the Constitution has statutes dedicated almost all of that money to, where you're, what, about $2.5 or $3 billion is what they have to play with. So you're looking at almost half of that amount being eaten up. And that's why it's called the cliff.
Another listener says, I think this is a great idea and recommend it for any and everybody. I just recommended it to an LSU student about the budget. So hopefully people will be energized by this. And Paul in Opelousas, good morning, Paul. You're on the air with Mark Ballard, Peter Kovacs, and Lynn Apkar. Hi, Paul.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning. And good morning, guests. City of Opelousas, St. Andrew Parish, give you an example. Bad roads. Couldn't get state funding. It got to the point where you couldn't drive, and we decided to pass a tax and tax ourselves to good roads. We're half now. Probably nobody would rescind that road tax. If we can see it, we don't mind spending it. It's when we can't see it, then we mind. And that's the way I was thinking. So we tax ourselves to our own services. When we see, like, when we see them, we don't mind it. When we can't see them, then we mind. Have a good day.
All right. Peter, will the Advocate opine on its editorial pages regarding the effectiveness or lack thereof of an additional tax that would provide better roads and bridges?
I think there's a lot of support for a tax that would provide better roads and bridges, and we've generally been supportive. There's not a specific, you know, proposal, although they're talking about 17 cents. And road taxes are generally easier to pass because people can see the effects of it. But a lot of government services, of course, are more complex than that.
Now, Lynn Apkar, you've lived your life in other places, California and New York notably, and some people believe those states have a better mousetrap, but every state has to find taxes somewhere. How do they do it differently in other places that might benefit some conversation in Louisiana?
Well, I'm not a tax policy expert. I have lived in various places. They have potholes there, too. They have road issues and needs. I think they have generally felt over the years that when gasoline prices were low, that was a good time to strike, particularly with a per gallon gas tax increase. But even there, it's been very hard. And even there, it hasn't been enough. And even there, people complain that not everybody's paying their full share. California has done better at this of late. Louisiana can do better, too. And one of the things that I thought about when I came up with this idea for this website was to educate people on just the context of a lot of these taxes. As I started to look at this as a former tax reporter in my early days, I thought, my gosh, Louisiana's taxes are laden with history, complications, all sorts of little details and footnotes. And as I got deeper into this, I thought, you know, we just need, the public doesn't fully I'm sure doesn't fully understand this, and too much of the public's time is being taken, as Mark is talking about, with this lurching from crisis to crisis to crisis, and not looking at a broad overall tax plan and proposal that would govern spending and the fiscal health of the state.
When you came forward with this idea, did you think the Advocate would embrace it as they have?
I didn't know. I mean, I got into it without the Advocate initially and started talking to folks and realized quickly that I needed help, that one professor at the Manship School was not going to be able to figure all this out, even with some good researchers and all that. And so I knew it was an educational mission. I knew it was a public service. And I thought Peter would be very interested in both, and he was.
Now, Denise Marcel, another listener asks about how difficult it is to get taxes passed in Louisiana. And one area that we discussed about other states in which Louisiana still lags way behind is in a cigarette tax. And we did pass an increase, but it's as a state, we're still way behind New York, which, by the way, is $4.35 a pack tax, state tax. Why are we so averse to any kind of new tax measures in our state right now?
Well, we have the anti-tax people, and so it doesn't matter what it's about. If it's a tax, they just vote against it, and that's the climate here in Louisiana. I'm not happy about that, but it is. But I can tell you that there's no appetite to extend the 1 cent sales tax. When it falls off, that cliff is real.
It's gone.
Me personally, I'm not going to support that tax. Extending that tax myself. So I think it's the most regressive tax that we have, and I'm not going to place it on the people anymore. I think that people need to pay their fair share all around, starting with mm-hmm. the corporations. And so that's why you're going to, you know, have pushback. And then a lot of people in the legislature are supported by a lot of the larger businesses. So they're thinking of being reelected rather than what's best for the state. And so I'm happy that you came up with this, and perhaps we can get the citizens to engage in this and say what's right. You know, if I have to pay my fair share, then I think you should. And if I have to show you my taxes, I think Trump should. I mean, that's just an analogy.
Right. SolveTheBudget.org is where you go. That's SolveTheBudget.org, which is a collaboration of Lynn Apgar at the Manship School and The Advocate with two of the main guys, the editor Peter Kovacs and the Capital Bureau Chief Mark Ballard with us. Another listener asks about your idea, saying are there ways to address new plans or plans that have maybe aren't new, like Foster Campbell's processing fee? Is there an opportunity for somebody to say, hey, this is the way we should go, Mark?
We thought about that, but I think we stuck mostly with the types of initiatives that are being talked about in the legislature.
That's right.
Because there are plenty of plans out there, but these are the ones that the legislators are actually looking at.
And it looks like a big one's going down today, based on conversations in and out of the Capitol. And Peter Kovacs, this is not an easy fix, so I imagine this will be an ongoing discussion. It's going to take perhaps more than one regular session and some special sessions to get all of the people on the same page.
Well, we certainly hope it doesn't take more than this regular session. I know Mark hopes it doesn't take more than this regular session. The facts are all there. It shouldn't require special sessions. And it's a dereliction if legislators can't resolve this. This is a fiscal session. You know, this is the way our Constitution works. These guys ran for office to take this responsibility, and there's no reason why they can't solve it in this session.
Lynn?
I would agree with Peter. I would say already the public embrace of SolveTheBudget.org has been strong. Just in the last 24 hours, we're approaching 2,000 people who have seen it on the website of The Advocate and elsewhere. And I'd like to tell everyone that before the legislative session is out, and maybe as we're coming to a climax on some votes, we intend to publish the data and write about it and to tell folks what the citizens of Louisiana and anybody else who went up again into the website thought.
Well, we thank you for joining us today. Remember, it's SolveTheBudget.org. That's going to do it for today. We thank you for listening.